Join me as we recite the blessing before reading the Torah. Barechu et Adonai hamvivorach. Baruch Adonai hamvivorach leolam vaed. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, venatan lanu et torato, baruch atah Adonai, noten ha'torah. Amen. Blessed Adonai who is blessed.
Blessed is Adonai who is
blessed forever and ever. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who selected us from all the nations and gave us his Torah. Blessed are you, Adonai, giver of the Torah. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Today's portion, Parashat Devarim, can be found in the book of Deuteronomy, Devarim, chapter 1. And we're going to read chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 7 in Hebrew, and then a little more in the English. In the Hebrew, it says, Ele hadevarim asher diber Moshe el kol Israel be'ever ha'yarden ba'midbar ba'arava mol suf ben paran uven tofel ve'lavan ve'chatzerot Vedi Zahav Achad Asar Yom Mechorev Derek Har Seir Ad Kadesh Barnea Vayahi Baarbaim Shana Beashte Asar Chodesh Bechad Lachodesh Diber Moshe Ebne Israel Kehol asher siva Adonai oto alechem. Al hare ha koto et Sihon melech haemori asher yoshev becheshbon ve et og melech habashan asher yoshev beashtarot be'ed rei. Be'ever chayaden be'eretz Moav Choel Moshe be'er et chatorah hazot lemor. Adonai Eloheinu diber elenu bechorev rav lachem shevet bahar hazeh. Penu us u lachem har emori ve alkol shechenav be'arava vechar uvashfela uvanegev uvechof chayam eretz hakenani vechalevanun archa nahar hagadol nehar Prat.
Reading in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1. These are the words Moshe spoke to all Israel on the far side of the Yarden River, in the desert, in the Arava, across from Suf, between Paran, Tophel, Lavan, Hatzerot and Dizahav. It is 11 days' journey from Horev to Kadesh Barnea by way of Mount Seir. On the first day of the 11th month of the 40th year, Moshe spoke to the people of Israel, reviewing everything Adonai had ordered him to tell them. This was after he had defeated Sihon, king of the Amori, who lived in Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth at Edrei. There, beyond the Yarden, in the land of Moab, Moshe took it upon himself to expound this Torah and said, Adonai spoke to us in Horeb. He said, you have lived long enough by this mountain. Turn, get moving, and go to the hill country of the Emori and all the places near there in the Arava, the hill country, the Shephelah, the Negev, and by the seashore, the land of the Canaani and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates River. I have set the land before you. Go in and take possession of the land Adonai swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and their descendants after them. At that time I told you, you are too heavy a burden for me to carry alone. Adonai your God has multiplied your numbers so that there are as many of you today as there are stars in the sky. May Adonai, the God of your ancestors, increase you yet a thousandfold and bless you as he has promised you. But you are a burdensome, bothersome, and quarrelsome. How can I bear it by myself alone? Pick for yourselves from each of your tribes men who are wise, understanding, and knowledgeable, and I will make them heads over you. You answered me, what you have said would be a good thing for us to do. So I took the heads of the tribes, men, wise and knowledgeable, and made them heads over you, leaders in charge of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, and officers, tribe by tribe. At that time, I commissioned your judges. Hear the cases that arise between your brothers, and judge fairly between a man and his brother, and the foreigner who is with him. You are not to show favoritism when judging, but give equal attention to the small and to the great. No matter how a person presents himself, don't be afraid of him, because the decision is God's. The case that is too hard for you, bring to me, and I will hear it. I also gave you orders at that time concerning all the things you were to do.
Praise you, Lord. Now let's recite together the closing prayer. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu torat emet v'haolam natan betochenu. Baruch atah Adonai noten haTorah. Amen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe. You have given us the Torah of truth and planted within us everlasting life. Blessed are you, Adonai, giver of the Torah. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Today's portion, Parashat Devarim, the complete portion can be found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1:1 through chapter 3, verse 22. I'd like to encourage you guys, I haven't said this in a while, to read this chapter or read these portions basically every week if you can. If you can't read them, listen to them. I do a lot of Bible listening. You can get a lot of listening done. Sometimes you don't, if you can't read as much. So again, 1:1 through 3:22. So this portion, something interesting happens again. These last couple weeks, there's been a lot of reminders of what's already been said, what's already been done. And the Lord brings it up again. And so this one, we go ahead and read some of this again, and I want to talk to you about some of the things the Lord showed me. Each year as we go through the portions again, ask the Lord, you know, show me, what is it? What is the message this time around? The message for me personally, the message to teach. And so let's read this. Deuteronomy 1:1. These are the words Moshe spoke to all Israel on the far side of the Yarden River, in the desert, in the Arava, across from Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Levan, Hazeroth, and De-Zahav. It is 11 days' journey from Horev to Kadesh Barnea by way of Mount Seir. On the first day of the 11th month, of the 40th year. So how long were they going to be in the desert? 40 years. This is coming to the end of the trip. I mean, you can see, you look at the Torah, we're almost to the end. So what's the 11th month of the Hebrew calendar? The month of Av? Month of Av. So what's today's date on the Hebrew calendar? Today is the 8th day of Av, the year 5781. So this took place on the first day of the month of Av in the 40th year of their time in the desert. Moshe spoke to the people of Israel, reviewing everything Adonai had ordered him to tell them. This word, the book Devarim, in Hebrew it means words, as you can see on the screen there. The Greek word Deuteronomy means retelling of the Torah. So we're seeing this idea of things being retold and relived and like what is very Jewish to remember, to do things in remembrance of, to not forget milestones that the Lord has brought you through, not to forget people who have died, they're dead, so we just forget about them. No, you remember them and you honor the Lord because of their memory and by remembering them, by thanking the Lord for them, etc. So we've seen the last few weeks, in particular last week's Parashat Maaseh, Adonai reminded Bnei Israel of the journeys that they had taken with him and the stops they made along the way. This portion, Devarim, begins with more of an account of what has happened, or more accounting of what has happened during the time that they spent in the desert. I don't know if any of you have ever been, visited the desert or lived there, but to spend 40 years, that's a long time, a lot of time. The desert can be a place of misery, can be a place of lack. Children of Israel didn't have to face either of those. During their time in the desert, they were provided for miraculously. It makes me think of something funny. It makes me think about Gilligan, deserted on the desert island. But miraculously, the professor always had things for his experiments. Lovey Howe always had new clothes and jewels and furs. All of these things. Gilligan's red shirt, it never wore out. I mean, that sounds like the children of Israel in the desert. Hallelujah. So this is a testimony to all of us who are in relationship with Adonai through Messiah. No lack and no misery, even in a place that's known for it, a desert. And this is possible when we're walking in the will of Adonai. You know, all these Torah portions, they always come down to the same. You can boil them all down to this. Were they walking in the will of Adonai? Were they not walking in the will of Adonai? Was there blessing happening and no problems? Probably walk in the will of Adonai. Opposition, yes, God bless you. When they're total disobedience, a lot of bad things happened, and they happened really quickly. And they didn't. Not only did they happen really quickly, but it took a long time for them to even out and play out and get to where things were just normal again. It's a whole lot easier just to walk slow and steady with that in mind and keep things good than it is to get off and have to backtrack and get back on track with him. Much more difficult to do. Hallelujah. So over the past few portions, we've seen many people, many groups use their words, their devarim, if you will, against Adonai's plan, against the land of Israel, against the leadership of B'nai Israel. They should have been using their words to be in agreement with what Adonai had said. Adonai has given every man he ever created the ability to speak, to use words. This is the story of every man's life. Are you using your words or using the words that Adonai put in your mouth or not? Or are you putting words into your own mouth to use? We don't like it when others try to put words into our mouth. And we need to be careful not to put our words into the mouth, our own mouth, or someone else's. We need to be careful not to put words in our mouth that go against the words Adonai has ordained us to speak. Hallelujah. Walking peacefully through life and being blessed is connected to the words coming out of our very own mouths. Hallelujah. Anybody who's ever gotten married, you got married by the words coming out of your very own mouth. You could sign a bunch of certificates in the presence of witnesses, but until you say, I do, everything else doesn't matter. It's by our words in the spirit, in spiritual matters with the Lord. When we receive Messiah, how do we do it? Do we think about it? No. We don't even write it down. We may write it down, but that doesn't matter. We say it. We confess with our mouth the Lord, Messiah, Yeshua, that Adonai raised him from the dead. We confess, we say our words. We say these things. Hallelujah. How many of you want to walk in peace and blessing? Amen. Amen. I think about things that I've said in the past. I wish I can get them back. Can't. Once they're out, that's it. They're out. Continue in verse 4. This was after he had defeated Sihon, king of the Amori, who lived in Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtarot, at Edrei. It wasn't long after the utterance of the word giant, or it wasn't long ago, I should say, that the utterance of the word giant was a fearful thing in the camp of B'nai Israel. Now it's in the past. It's a past victory that has emboldened the people and has left them with yet another testimony of what Adonai had done for them in a short amount of time. But now they're past the time of dealing with fear that came with knowing the giants were in their path, and now they're on to something else. With this knowledge, Moshe was also free to check that off of his to-do list. No, we're dealing with the giants. No more dealing with this idea that the giants are too big and we can't do anything about it. No more dealing with this idea that we're just grasshoppers in their sight. No, we've already defeated them. And the Lord is reminding them. You know, when you're about to do something else for the Lord and take that next step, he reminds you of what you've done. And at every step you take for him has a giant waiting for you. But there are giants waiting for you, nonetheless. Incremental giants, sometimes clusters of giants, sometimes no giants for a while. But be on guard, because guess what you're going to find again eventually? Giants. Hallelujah. Verse 5 says, there beyond the Yarden in the land of Moab, Moshe took it upon himself. And I'm going to read that part again. Moshe took it upon himself to expound this Torah and said. Moshe took it upon himself. How many times have we seen Vayomer Adonai Moshe, Vayedaber Adonai Moshe? The Lord said to Moses. It doesn't say that here. It said Moses took it upon himself. When you're in authority, there are times when you can take it upon yourself as permitted by Adonai to say or do something. Everything is not always a situation of having to wait for God to speak or to move. There's a lot of people are in this trap. They're just waiting. I'm waiting for the Lord to speak. How long are you going to wait? How long are you going to wait? In particular about spouses. Well, I'm waiting for the Lord to send me Mr. Right or Mrs. Right. And they do, well, have you gone like to the grocery store with your hair looking nice? No. I mean, do you show up to Shabbat looking presentable? Well, no, you know. How old are you now? Well, I'm 105 and I'm still waiting. How long are you going to wait to do unless the Lord has to prod you along? So we're free to move in things that we're free to move in with peace. If you have peace about something, move into it. Let the Lord, Scripture says, to be led forth by peace. If you're at peace doing it, go right ahead. And at the same time, if you start moving in a direction and you get a check in your spirit, Lord says, you all of a sudden you're not comfortable anymore, then stop. Ask the Lord about it. If Adonai tells you to stop or pause, just do so. But don't just stay in one place. Most of life is not a wait for a specific detailed instruction from the Father situation. Rather a move, and if Adonai does not tell you to stop, continue. Continue to move forward in peace. Are you at peace? Move forward in it. And if he directs you or redirects you, follow his redirection. This is real simple, but at the same time, it trips up a lot of people. I know a lot of people who are just stuck waiting for things to happen that they're waiting for 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, and they haven't taken any steps to do anything. You know, the extreme example is the person who says, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord to just bless me with some money. Well, do you have a job? Well, no. And you'd be surprised how many people are seriously at that place. And they don't ask the Lord about, should I get a job or not? They don't respond when the Lord says, get a job. When they're walking by somewhere and it says, help wanted, they don't even respond to that. And they're just stuck in a rut. Adonai's spirit, the Ruach Kodesh, is our great GPS guidance system. We always have an idea where he's leading us. We start that direction, and as he decides, he recalculates the route, and we adjust accordingly. None of this can be done sitting in your garage in your car with the motor not running. You never go anywhere. Adonai doesn't want people sitting there in one spot, motionless, directionless, aimless. He always wants us being current with him, listening to what he's telling us right then. And he's always telling us to do. Sometimes what he tells us to do is stop and rest. But he never tells anyone just stop and rest and stay there forever in a rested position and expect me to do all these things that you were supposed to do your part. If you wait and sit in one spot waiting for Adonai to always send a cloud by day and a fire by night, or a wet fleece or a dry fleece sign, you probably won't go anywhere, or at least anywhere quickly. Especially if he has given you direction on where to go and how to get there. We talked earlier about this idea of fear. Fear will stop you from doing the basic things Adonai has called you to do. It'll stop you from doing the basic things that he's called you to do your part to meet the blessing that he's waiting to give you. You know, there's $1 million waiting for you at the bank, but you don't want to go drive. I'm not going to go drive to the bank. And people will say things like, well, surely the Lord is big enough to get it from the bank to me. Well, yeah, of course he is, but that's not the point. He told you to go do it. Hallelujah. There's men who, you know, there's a big thing, and I guess it kind of still is now. You can do like a bride online. Eastern European bride in a box shows up delivered right at your... That's what people want. But it's not the way the Lord does things. Amen? And to those, if you've done that, I'm not against it. I'm just saying. Don't limit yourself to that. Or a husband in a box. Start moving and do something. Amen? So why am I saying all this? Moshe understood this idea, and he acted on it, even knowing that the closer he got to the land, the closer he was getting to his end. He acted on this idea of not just staying. And we're going to get to that. What leadership he displayed. Look at what he says here in verse 6. Adonai spoke to us on Horeb. He said, you have lived long enough by this mountain. Horeb comes from two Hebrew words, Har and Av, which means the mountain of the Father or the mountain of God. We've talked about this month of Av, this month of the Father that we find ourselves in. How many of you know that sometimes you can even spend too much time at the mountain of God? There was a pastor we served under probably 25 years ago, and he had a business at the time, and he had someone coming in. He's there at work in the morning, and this particular person would show up hour and a half late, constantly. And they recognized that he was a pastor, he was a good man, et cetera, et cetera. And they were just taking advantage of him. And so he said, well, what's the problem? How come you can't get here on time? Oh, well, you just don't know how sweet my prayer time was with the Lord this morning, and I just couldn't get up. And he said, okay, that's fine. He said, the next time it happens, you just go ahead and stay there and don't come in. I've got a business to run. Because what you're telling me is that the Lord has brought you here to work for me, but he's also telling you to be late and stay with him and pray when you're supposed to be here, and I'm expecting you. That's not right. Sometimes you can even spend too much time in the presence of God when he's telling you to do something else, or at the mountain of God waiting. There comes a time when even Adonai recognizes it. He recognizes that it's in your best interest for you to get away from even the comfort and protections he provides. And to trust him to walk into the unknown, into the desert, even into war with the giants that you fear. This is where he sent them. And he does it in order for you to become all he has called you to be. There's a great physical fear that sometimes comes from walking in the will of the Father. It's not always easy. Not always easy doing right. They say that locks are made, you know, whether it's a door lock or a padlock. I remember hearing this at work 35 years ago. And they said locks aren't made to stop thieves. Locks are made to stop innocent or to stop regular people. And they broke it down like this. They said about 10% of the people, no matter what you do, they're going to find a way to steal from you. About 10% of the people, no matter what you do, under no circumstances, will they ever steal from you. But that 80% in the middle, under certain circumstances, they'll steal from you. That's who the locks are designed to stop, is those people. And when you recognize, where did I leave off at here? Give me one sec, I lost my spot. When you recognize that it's time to go, you can't just stand under the protections of the Lord forever and never go out there. As a business person, you can't just have a business and stop doing business because you're worrying about someone stealing from you, or you're worried about this employee doing that or this. You have to walk out in faith and just, you've got a business, you've got to operate it, and people are going to steal from you. People are going to hurt you. Adonai sent them out, and they said, go on. Go over there where the giants are. You're afraid? That's okay. You can't walk through life serving the Lord and be unscathed. unchallenged, unopposed. Hallelujah. And he said this. But look what he also says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. You don't have to turn there, but you can write it down. Adonai says, be strong and of good courage. He didn't ask, well, are you guys scared? Are you worried about what's there to meet you? No, he said, be strong. Be of good courage. That's our walk. Being strong. Being of good courage. All the while, maybe scared. Hallelujah. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the presence of fear, but you do what Adonai tells you to do anyway. This is what we talked about during the Birkat Kohanim. For those of you who weren't here, we talked about is their children. And basically, as adults, we're big children. We're still basically the same people we were. We're just bigger and older. And more able to hide things or deal with things than we were when we were children. But we're still basically, you know, big kids. Sometimes Adonai puts us in positions where we have to decide, if I go left, I have to face the giants over here. And that's scary. And if I go right, I have to face Adonai. And that's even scarier. If I go left, I have to face the giants that Adonai told me to face. And that he would use me and give me victory and get me through them. And he tells me to be courageous. And if I go right, I have to face Adonai and answer to him why I didn't do what he told me to do. Anybody ever been in that position? The fear of man will paralyze some to the point of hanging out at the mountain of God for too long. Hanging out at the mountain of the Father for too long. Adonai has called us to leave the mountain of the Father and go into the land he's promised us. But we have to be willing to fight. Anything willing or anything worth having is worth fighting for. I encourage you to take courage and be encouraged in Adonai and trust him to not succumb to the fear of man that resides in your flesh. Everyone has to deal with it at some point in every situation so that you don't become a slave to a man for the rest of your life or a slave to fear of man or a slave to fear of someone's opinion. How many of you know no matter what you do? Oh, he's great. He's wonderful. Oh, he's terrible. And he's... Maybe they're both right in certain aspects. How about that? But don't fear either. Keep moving forward. Amen? So what mountain have you camped next to for so long that you've become entrapped and fearful of even moving forward in the direction that Adonai has told you to go? Some mountains are little. Some mountains are great. Anything that's stopping you from doing the will of the Father that you're camped next to is your mountain. It could be a mountain the size of a teaspoon of sugar. Or it could be Mount Everest, depending on where you are and you walk. But listen to what Adonai told them. This is Adonai speaking and not Moshe. Verse 7 says, turn, get moving, and go to the hill. Told them to go. Turn, get moving, and go to the hill country of the Amori and all the places near there in the Arava, the hill country, the Shephelah, the Negev, and by the seashore, the land of the Canaanite and the Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates River. Basically, what he tells me, if you look at this on a map, it's go into all Haaretz Israel. You're going to find people at the beach you're going to have to deal with. You're going to have to find people, you'll find people in the foothills to deal with, in the mountains, in the Negev, in the deserts. Everywhere you go, he told Joshua, you know, when he said, wherever you go, wherever you place your foot, it shall be yours. And I'm paraphrasing. And everywhere they went, they had opposition. Everywhere. You know, people think that they were just going into, they were going back to Garden of Eden kind of thing. No, they weren't. They were going into more problems, more trouble. As soon as they would lick their wounds and heal up and take a little more, they were, here they are again. Somebody else coming against them. But they learned each time and they got stronger and they became more and more courageous. Hallelujah. Verse 8 says, I, is Adonai speaking, have set the land before you. Go in and take possession of the land Adonai swore to give you, to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, and their descendants after them. Are you going to listen to what the Lord has promised you and do it or not? How many people and how many of us have things that the Lord has promised us and somebody else is enjoying them? When they were, he told us they were for you. And we didn't just walk in the simple things he told us to do to obtain what he called us to have. And this isn't about stuff or about stuff or money. It's just about anything and everything in life. It could be something simple that is virtually worthless monetarily, but it means something to you. We were in Carmel about a month ago, and we're sitting outside in this little market having a beef hot dog, and I had some onions on it, and it was delicious. And we're sitting there. It was just simple. We were just talking. And you know when things are simple and easy and you're just there, the Lord just starts speaking. And so we like to go to antique shops and different things, because and we always, the Lord always leads us. You know, this menorah here we got at an old antique shop, and they just got it when we walked in. And I saw this antique store across the street. I said, you know what, Jace, we've had a walk. Let's go in there. So we walk in, and the owner, it's a little bitty shop, and he's working with some people. We're looking around. People leave, and I said, hey, how are you doing? Oh, good. How's it going, sir? And I said, hey, do you have anything Jewish in here? And he said, you know what? It's funny you say that. He said, I've got this book right here. And he reaches down. He said, I've had this book for years. And a couple days ago, I said, you know what? It's time for me to sell it. So it's about a 100-year-old book that is almost, it looked like it came from, you know, great-great-great-great-grandma who went to Israel in 1920 kind of thing. And it's been sitting on her shelf ever since. And it was delicate flowers from all over the land. And so he told me the price. I said, what about we negotiate a little bit? Came up to a price, and I bought it. And I said, look at this, Lord. If I would have found it on the shelf, it would have been nice. But for him to say, you know, I've had this for years, and I'm ready to let it go. And so I paid him, and I gave him my card, and I told him what, you know, about me and what we're doing. And he was so happy that it found a home. And we just went on about our way and said, something that would have been meaningless to so many other people, but it meant so much to me. And it meant so much to Stacy because she saw how happy I was with it. Hallelujah. But I'm saying all this to say, what are the desires of your heart that you've been waiting for and the Lord's been wanting to bless you and help you, but he can't because you're waiting around that mountain for too long? Time to pull up that tent, pull up those stakes, And it's tough sometimes. It's hard. It's hard moving on from a place of comfort under the provision of the Lord to go to a place of that's not comfortable, but still under the provision of the Lord. But you got to fight. You may even get scarred a little bit. How bad do you want it? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Finishing verse 8. It says, your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, and their descendants after them. So when they went, how many of you know they didn't just go into the land or into these lands of the enemies? Just with a ho-hum, casual attitude. Oh, you know, we're going to play golf today down by the Amorites. Sometimes you have to go places and do things with an attitude. And if you don't have it, you're going to come up with more, even more scars. Hallelujah. You ever go into a pit bull fight with a little Bichon Frise attitude? What do you think would happen? You'd get eaten alive. It'd be a hot dog. But sometimes you got to go in things with an attitude ready to fight, knowing that Messiah is saying, you go, come on, go, go. The fight is over there and the victory is there. And what I've promised to your ancestors is just on the other side of that. Now go. We get this idea that a loving father would never put us in a position to have to fight. But he does all the time. Puts a position to have victory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Sometimes you have to go with an attitude and say to the giant, giant, it's either I go through you or I go through God. I'm going to choose you. Either get out of my way and walk in peace with me as I do with you, or I'm going to go right through you. You decide. And this was the attitude of the children of Israel. Because you'll remember, they kept looking, hey, look, can we stop and just get a little water right here? And just, we're driving through, that's all we're doing? No, 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 no. Are you sure? No, 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 no. And then they get attacked. What did these people expect them to do? This verse here, in where is it here? Give me one sec to go back. Here we go. Back in verse 4, it talks about they had defeated Sihon, king of the Amori, who lived in Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan. So here it is. They defeat Og, king of Bashan. I think I got this order right. And there's his cousin, Sihon, the king. He just lost his cousin, and all of his cousin's people are gone. They're wiped out. And all they ever ask for is, hey, can we just go on through? No. And he had the nerve to say no to them again. They got wiped out. You know, when you come against the plan of God, you just put yourself in a position just to get wiped out under certain situations. That's it. Just never to be heard from again. And, you know, you're the one who's dead in the desert. While the people who just, hey, you know, can I just... They're going on to the promised land without you. What a position. What choices we have to make. Hallelujah. So I want to end with this. What words, what devarim will you listen to? The devarim of Adonai or the devarim of man? Even if it's a giant man, a giant. We get to decide. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray, but don't turn me off. I'm going to, after I pray, if you can put on the slide for Tisha B'Av. Father, we just thank you. We've come before you, O God, as your people. united by Messiah, oh God. And I thank you, oh God, that you've called us to victory. But victory also, there's some responsibilities of victory that we need to be ready to lay hold of. There are some things that come with victory, with a fight, oh God, whether it's in the natural or in particular in the spirit, that you've called us to be strong and courageous and fight this good fight of faith. To be strong and courageous, oh God, and listen to you and do what you've called us to do in spite of those around who would not be in agreement, or those around who wouldn't understand, or those around who are just full of hate, whatever it is. We thank you, oh God, that we choose. If we go to the right, we go to you. Or if we go to the left, we go in the direction of the giants. Father, we're always going to make the decision to go in the direction of the giants, trusting you. And I ask you to give us, encourage us, oh God. Even though things can be fearful, encourage us. Give us courage, oh God, to do it anyway. We thank you for that, oh God. We praise you and thank you for this time of studying your Torah. May the words, oh God, that we listen to be the ones that come from you, oh God. So we thank you for that in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Before we, I want to kind of tag on to this Torah portion, just a few words about the tomorrow. We talked in the Torah portion way back in the beginning when Moshe said this. It was on the first day of the 11th month, the first day of Av. Tomorrow is the ninth day of Av, which is the saddest day in Judaism. And I'm not going to limit it to the saddest day in Judaism. It's the saddest day in Judaism because they recognize what it is and they mourn because of it. But in a lot of ways, it can be argued it's the saddest day in the universe because of what happened there, because what they're mourning for and why they're mourning. The ninth day of the month of Av, the saddest day, is the culmination of these 3 weeks where all over the world, Jews and other Messianic believers have been in mourning and reflection regarding the destruction of the temple and the expulsion of the people from the land, among other things, but those are probably the biggest ones, at least the ones I want to talk about. So during these times of mourning, there's a great call for Messiah to return. Remember the disciples. Yeshua, are you going to set up your temple right now or set up your kingdom right now? They kept on asking that. There was a great zeal and desire. Sometimes you just say, you know, I'm sick of it. I'm done. That's it. I've had enough. I'm up to here. I can't take it anymore. Messiah, come back, please. I can't take another day of this situation. Anybody ever have something like that to deal with? And so that's what's going on right now all through the world. Jews are saying, Messiah, come back, Messiah. Or come, or they're not saying come back, they're saying come, Messiah. Come, Messiah, set up your temple, set up your kingdom. This is a time, or this is a time like the time in the desert. You know, in the desert, you're just in drought, spiritually, physically. You're dealing with the heat and the pressure and all these things going on. And this is what they're feeling. This is a time of just a drought spiritually. We're here, the ninth of Av again, and Messiah hasn't come back. We've got to commemorate this again. You know, it's so painful when you go through things. We don't do, Americans, and in particular Americans, even a lot of Jewish Americans, don't really do yard site or the remembrance of someone's passing away yearly, like should be done, like the Bible has shown us. And we get so accustomed to getting away from pain, not remembering things that were painful, especially the killing of our ancestors or the expulsion of our people, that kind of thing. Not something you want to just, oh, every year we're going to do this again. No, it's kind of a... But tomorrow is that day, the culmination of 3 weeks of just mourning and reflection. And so what I want to say to the people watching especially is the only answer to the pain of what's being felt and experienced at this time is Messiah. And I believe they would recognize that and understand that. But I also want to say today's Torah portion, Devarim, or words, it's connected to this time of mourning, this time during the month of Av. Moshe on the first day of Av, that would have been roughly in the middle of this three-week period. And they weren't obviously not remembering this then, but this is right where the Torah portion brings up this date, right at the same time. But today, people remember when the temple was sacked, remember when their loved ones were kicked out, their ancestors. And when did this happen? This is the important thing I want to get to. This happened shortly after Messiah Yeshua had come and gone, and it was a direct response to the people who largely didn't recognize and didn't accept Yeshua as Messiah. From that great pain and that great rejection, what came out of that was a great destruction of the temple and a great scattering of the people. Didn't recognize Messiah. The same land that Adonai told them to go to and live and to kick out the giants in the Torah portion. That same land he told them to go and live in as an inheritance was now the same land that the hand of many drove them from. They were to go into the land and reclaim their land. Now, Messiah dies, which they didn't recognize. Temple sacked. They get dispersed. Ninth of Av. Had they accepted and received Messiah, they could have averted all of this pain. People would take this kind of thing and say, look at the Jewish people. They made these mistakes and look at da 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 da. And fail to see the mistakes of everybody else around. People like to scapegoat everyone. All the Jewish people. What about the Jewish people who did accept Messiah? How about that? How about we pray for the ones who haven't received Messiah yet? How about that? How about we do as Messianics, as we've been called to do, is to be the tip of the spear as it relates to the reconciliation of the Jewish people? How about that? How about doing the specific things we can do? How about as Messianic believers leaving from Har Av, the comfort of the protection of Adonai at the mountain, and go towards the uncomfortable of bringing God's people back to him and anyone else along the way who wants to receive Messiah? It's not easy to do. It's difficult. As the leadership of the congregation, that's our focus, is to do that and to make you aware and to remember. You know, if we were living in Israel today, right now, and we went outside and we looked around to see what was going on, it would look totally different than what you see here. You would actually see the people in mourning and in tears and just all of that. But, you know, here in America, we're able to do what Americans are really good at doing and what just people do. Get away from the pain as much as we can. Not relive the pain. But we're called to help. We're called to be in lockstep with God's people, whether they know him or not. Those of us who know him are called to help lead them to come to know him. Amen? So that brings us to today and the times we're living in. And I want to say for those of you who are watching, who are mourning today, I want to say to you there is hope. And this hope only comes through the King of the Jews, the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua. And I know many of you have heard of Yeshua and have not accepted him for different reasons, and that's okay. But I do know that the Lord is dealing with you to receive him. And I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you would receive him now. You know, when we record something like this and it gets on the internet, it's there circulating as long as it's there. Who knows who's going to watch this and receive Messiah because of it? And I also want to say to those of you in the land that there are more days of pain coming, Scripture tells us. I wish it wasn't the case, but that's what Scripture says. But those of you who use your words, your devarim, as we've been talking about, use your mouths to call upon the name of Messiah, Yeshua. His name is Yeshua. Some call him Jesus. But the important thing is that you receive him as Messiah. Not only will you receive everlasting life, but you'll also receive the daily hope that's needed to live day by day in the world we're living in today. And the hope to know that one day he's going to return and wipe away all the tears from the cheeks of all of you who have mourned. What a wonderful day. And he will replace them with joy unspeakable. Praise you, O God. If you want to receive Messiah Yeshua as your Lord and Savior and recognize him as the long-awaited Messiah, and I want you to pray with me and repeat these words. And those of you who are here, you can repeat and be in agreement with this. So let's pray. Abba, Father, I've heard this message today. I want to recognize Messiah Yeshua as the long-awaited Messiah of Israel. Right now, I receive him as my Lord and Savior. I no longer will count on my merits and works to be in good standing with the Father. Today, all of my good works will be done only out of a heart of worship to the Father. From today forward, I will acknowledge the only way to right standing with the Father is by his Son, Yeshua, who some call Jesus. I accept him into my heart. And because of that, I am now a new creation in Messiah Yeshua. I pray, Yeshua, you would come into my life and lead me by the voice of the Ruach Kodesh, the Holy Spirit. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Today, if you've prayed that prayer from your heart, you're now in right standing with the Father because of Messiah Yeshua, Jesus. If you pray that for the first time, let us know. Write to us. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, write to us. Your next step is to ask Adonai to lead you to a congregation of believers that you can continue to grow in him. If you need help finding a congregation, contact us and we'll help you as much as we can. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So let's pray a closing prayer. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, O God, that when you tell us to do something and we act on it, O God, we're not responsible for the outcome. That's in your hands, Lord. We're responsible to open our mouths and speak the words of God, the words that you tell us to speak, the words that you speak through us, O God. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you have taken all the burden. You have done all the heavy lifting, O God. All we have to do is love people and present you to them, present Messiah to them, Lord, and pray for them that they would come to know Messiah. And Lord, we will continue to do this as individuals, as a Messianic community. We'll continue to lift up and support the congregations we support in Asia, oh God, and in Africa, in the land, in Eastern Europe, in America, ones that are big organizations that support efforts all over the world to help the Jewish people, both black and white, both Spanish and English speaking, and those who speak languages all over the world, oh God. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you. We ask you to use us in a special way, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you would, this little candlestick would be a bright candle in our area, Lord, for all to see the light of Messiah, and to come, Lord, to come and be a part. So we thank you, oh God, for your great love, your great blessing, your great peace. And as we go into this time of worship, I pray we remember our brothers and sisters around the world who are mourning, oh God, especially those who don't know you. We pray that they would come to know you. We thank you for that in the mighty name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach, who is called Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.